afternoon. As you grab your seat, why don't you say hello to somebody? Welcome them to OEM on this beautiful Sunday. We do want to welcome you, and before we get to the Word, I do want to let you know we have a special Sunday today. We're going to be having a baby dedication by our newest youth pastor on staff, Mike Kim and his wife Jane. They want to dedicate their son Elijah to the Lord. So I want to ask our elders and deacons and other pastors, please join me on stage. And also I want to invite Pastor Mike and Jane and Elijah also on stage. And as they do come forward, let's just give them a warm welcome as they are new to our ministry. And they shared that they specifically waited for the baby dedication until they came here. So they wanted to celebrate this moment with us together. And we do this because we want to acknowledge that children are a gift from the Lord. And we adhere to Psalm 127 that sons and daughters are a heritage from the Lord and children a reward from Him. So as believers, we realize that children are gifts from God, and we are to not only enjoy this gift, but we are also called upon and given a responsibility for this gift. We see in 1 Samuel that Hannah offered up her son Samuel to the Lord, and also Mary and Joseph, they brought and dedicated Jesus unto the Lord as well. The same way today, Mike and Jane Kim bring their child Elijah, presenting first of all themselves and then their child before the Lord. And I want to draw their attention to Deuteronomy 6. We looked at it last week as well. But hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. And so to the parents, Mike and Jane, just a reminder that you are called upon to love God with all that you are, and also to raise up Elijah to do the same. And right now, with Mike being the spiritual head of the household, I want to ask him to make these declarations of promise before God and his people today. So Mike, if you could please repeat these vows after me. I promise before God and his people.
I promise before God and his people.
As the spiritual leader in this family.
As the spiritual leader in this family.
To raise up my child in the ways of the Lord.
To raise up my child in the ways of the Lord.
I promise to lead by example.
I promise to lead by example.
In trusting God first.
And trusting God first.
Each day of my life.
Each day of my life.
I promise to lead my family.
I promise to lead my family.
Into his presence.
Into his presence.
With prayer and scripture.
With prayer and scripture.
I promise to love and cherish my wife.
I promise to love and cherish my wife.
And right now, I also want to invite Jane to join with Mike in making these promises together as parents. We promise before God and his people.
We promise before God and his people.
To train our child in the instruction. And discipline of the Lord.
And discipline of the Lord.
And to encourage our child.
To encourage our child.
To one day.
Trust in Jesus.
As Lord and Savior. And we dedicate.
And surrender.
Elijah to the Lord today. And right now, to the church, I want to ask you who call OEM your home church body right now that you would also join us in supporting this family and this child in the raising of this child in the ways of the Lord. And so if you call OEM your home church, if I could ask you to raise your right hand together and please repeat this vow after me. We promise before God and his people to love this family and child, to do our part in supporting this family, to grow in faith and in love. All right, thank you. You can put your hands down. And right now, if you could just join me in prayer right now. And if I want to ask the pastors, elders, deacons, if you could just lay hands right now on this family as we dedicate Elijah to the Lord and declare that he belongs to the Lord for all the days of his life. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you for this precious gift from your heart into the heart of Mike and Jane. We thank you for this gift of Elijah. And we ask right now that you would allow your hand of favor and grace to rest heavily upon his life for all the days of his life. We dedicate and surrender him to you to be wholly yours. Would you use him to be your vessel, and that one day soon he will intimately know the name of Jesus to be his own Lord and Savior. Lord, that he would live the rest of his life for the glory of your name. We ask for your protection upon his life from all the temptations that this world may throw his way, that he will be holy and devoted to you, and that you will use him to be a light in his generation, set apart, consecrated, holy, pointing his generation back to you, and use him, God, to be a voice that will disciple future generations as well. And Lord, we bless Mike and Jane, this marriage, to be strong as the years unfold, that they will fall deeper in love with you, and above all else, that they will understand what it means to be your child as they raise up their child. So Lord, deepen their intimacy with you, and may they fall deeper in love with each other as well. Give them wisdom and grace to do their part in discipling Elijah, strong in the ways of the Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Congratulations. And we do have a gift for Elijah. Okay. Thank you. All right. Wonderful. And I want to draw your attention to a few announcements for today. And if I could ask you to look at your bulletin. And we do have our fall classes starting up. And we do have an insert that has a description of three of our fall classes. Our apologies, the first course, Alpha course, that's actually going to have to be delayed. So that'll be pushed back. So our apologies for not being able to offer that one. But the remaining courses on that leaflet will be available. Contact the respective pastors for registration. This week, Onity Church will have an inner healing conference. And the guest speakers are going to be coming from the U.S. at various seminaries throughout the U.S. So language will not be an issue. So if you do want to join, there is time for you to register. But also evening sessions, I believe, will be free. So you could come to this campus, the main sanctuary, and join them for that one. Fire by Night is our monthly prayer walk. We go to different parts of Seoul to pray into this nation. And this month, this Friday, we'll be meeting at Sutchill Station Exit 5 to intercede for the Supreme Court, Supreme Prosecutor's Office, as we continue to fight for justice in this nation. Also, Hopi Restored is going to have a fundraiser next Sunday after the service in the tented area outside. They will have a pancake sale. And so if you cannot join us for the pancake dinner, we will still take your money. So you can still donate, even if you can't make it. But if you can, that would be great too. Joy Zone, there's a lot of ministry opportunities. Joy Zone needs some teachers at both campuses. And also, we're going to have a production team. If you are a YouTube-making, video-making machine, then you could help us get launched this ministry as well, and some other things there. Now, a couple of announcements that is not in your bulletin that I still want you to be aware of is, first of all, there's going to be a short film festival this Friday at 1:30 p.m. in the afternoon, if you happen to be free. And the focus of the short film festival are to have independent filmmakers raise awareness against sex trafficking and prostitution. So it's a pretty cool theme. And so if you would like to join us, it's going to be near Gwanghwamun. We'll have information on our website, onlytheenglish.org, hopefully by tonight, if not by tomorrow. So you can check our website out there. And also, I want to thank you all who came to the 8th anniversary of the anti-prostitution law celebration that happened near Gwanghwamun yesterday. I talked with the organizers, I talked with a lot of the aftercare centers that showed up, and they were so encouraged that there was a lot of people who visited, but especially that there were a lot of foreigners who stopped by, because they feel, in light of this cultural context, that they've been a silent, small voice that's left unheard for so long, being female, fighting for female rights and things like that. And so they were so encouraged that our ministry, a lot of people from our ministry, came to show support for that. And there were several government officials who came and visited, and they too were surprised that not only were we there, there were a lot of volunteers from our church that was serving and helping out that celebration as well. And so I wanted to pass that message on to you. Thank you for coming, for those who did. And next year when they have it again, I encourage you guys to come out if you weren't able to make it. And last but not least, a prayer request for tomorrow. Tomorrow is going to be the next TIP report meeting where the U.S. State Department is going to be meeting with different organizations, both internationally and domestically. So the morning session will be the international community. The different embassies from different countries and myself will be meeting with them and giving updates on the reality of trafficking situations today. And in the afternoon, there will be Korean aftercare and outreach centers that will get a meeting with them too. So I was asked to join both sessions, so we're really going to need your prayers that the fruit of that will be freedom for this nation. Amen? So I ask you to keep that in prayer. I believe it'll start from 10 a.m. So from 10 to 12 will be morning session. There'll be a lunch break from 12 to 1. And then I think from 1 to 4 will be the afternoon session. So if you could keep that in prayer, that'd be greatly appreciated. All right, with that, let's turn to the Lord in prayer. And let's ready our hearts to hear from the Lord through His Word today. So let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to us through the power of His Word. And let's expect great things from our great God today. Let's pray. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol Him, all peoples of the earth. For great is His steadfast love toward us who trust in Him. And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. God, we do exalt You and declare that You are worthy of praises. And we join with the psalmist, asking that all the nations of this earth might sing Your praises. And today, Lord, we desire to sing Your praises. Father, we do not want to gather out of ritual or in vain. God, we want to worship You in spirit, in truth, with all our hearts, with sincerity, with devotion, with increasing passion. We want to worship You and love You and give You the praises that You are worthy of. And with that, God, we need Your help. Because our hearts, our minds are so easily prone to wander. So, Father, would You allow Your Spirit to lead us into truth? Teach us to worship. Open our eyes that we may see and behold the beauty, the wonder, the majesty of all that You are. So when we hear Your word, we will hear Your voice, and our eyes and our hearts will be illuminated to see more of Your glory. And then we will bow in worship, and our hearts will beat faster because of how awesome You are. God, let this be the fruits of today's service. And Father, I do not want to preach in vain. So would You, by Your grace, fill me, anoint me with Your Spirit. And Holy Spirit, I ask that You will rule over me today and preach through me, so that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, the thoughts that flow through my mind in this next period would be pleasing in Your sight. O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Turn hearts, turn minds, turn lives to fix and focus fully upon Christ and to live for You today and always. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, if Christianity had a loyalty rewards program, what level would you be? Would you have a gold card status, or maybe a platinum status for your years of faithful service? Or would it be more like a gym membership? You know, you have membership, but you never really show up, you know? I won't take a survey with a show of hands so as to not embarrass you, but you know, I'll confess mine. You know, when my wife and I, we first moved to Sydney, Australia, we found out that there was a new gym that opened up just like, you know, a several minute drive away from our house. So, you know, we're newlyweds and we're like, all right, new beginning, new home, new season of life, you know, new city, new country, new ministry, new everything. So let's get a new gym membership. And so we go there, and to our surprise, it was a little bit more costly than we expected. But, you know, we were talking to each other. We were like, you know what? Because we paid this money, it will motivate us to go. And you know how the story goes. We did go. Twice.
for that year. And we never showed up again. You know, sadly for a lot of people, church membership and gym membership are far too similar. We sign up, but we never show up to flex our ministry muscle. How is your discipleship like? What is your ministry level of serving our King? You know, we're going to continue our study through the book of 2 Samuel today. And for our passage, we're going to be looking at different levels of loyalty that is exhibited by the followers of David's kingdom. The people in his land, we're going to see different levels of loyalty that was displayed after a difficult period that he'll encounter today. But through that, we'll be able to see some parallels to examine where are we in our levels of loyalty. Can we discern the true depth of our discipleship as those people followed or did not follow their King David? We want to ask that same question to our own lives. Where is our level of discipleship as we seek to follow our King, Jesus Christ? So turn your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 15, and let's explore where we stand in our own discipleship as well. You can follow along with me in your outlines too, and we're going to explore the depth, discerning the depth of our discipleship. So, what types of disciples or followers are there? There's a few that we'll be looking at. First of all, there are those who are lukewarm. So everyone repeat, there are those who are lukewarm. All right, so let's look at chapter 15. Let's start from verse 1. So after this, Absalom got himself a chariot and horses and 50 men to run before him. All right, now, we'll pause there right now and examine this. This is interesting. On one level, this is surprising and disturbing because in Deuteronomy and other places, God clearly told his people, do not accumulate for yourselves many horses and chariots. All right, so there's a level of trusting in God, there's a level of humility, there's various factors involved. But on one level, that would be surprising when we hear this, what Absalom has done. But what he is doing is he is forming his own entourage to make himself appear important. So he gathered, you know, chariot, all these horses, and 50 men to run before him. Right? So when he would go around the city, remember after 3 years in exile, after running away, and 2 more years after David called him back, as we looked at last week, so there's this 5-year period where he's kind of not seen or not known very well in the city. And so I'm sure his pride is a little bit hurt. He's the son of the king. He's a prince, and yet people have forgotten about him. Not many people know him or respect him. And so he'll do something about it. So he gets his chariot, horses, all these things, and 50 people to run ahead of him wherever he goes. So as he goes to the market, as he goes to all these other places, all of a sudden this huge entourage is coming. And what do the common people do? They're in shock. They're like, who is this? There must be someone important that just arrived. So he's trying to build his own reputation in this process. It's kind of like in Korea. One of the things that I had to learn, I did not know, is that only celebrities ride in these vans, kind of like the American vans that we used to use in the 1980s. Celebrities still use in Korea today. Now, what's interesting about this is that all the windows are tinted. And if you've ever seen a celebrity come out of it, you know, they you know, have their shades on and they're looking like, oh my goodness, you know, please, I need my privacy. And then they have their entourage. But, hello, only celebrities ride in these vans. And so it's kind of like, you know, what they're doing on the outside is screaming, someone famous is here, a celebrity is here, notice me, look at me. Yet, oh no, 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 please, I need my privacy. And that's something somewhat similar as to what Absalom is doing here. He is announcing to the city, someone important has arrived, namely me. And so he tries to build a reputation for himself almost as a celebrity. But there is a huge difference between being a celebrity and being a hero whom his father was acknowledged to be. We confuse the two in our day as well. We think because you're famous, You are also a role model. You are a hero. But that is not the case. Let's look at verse 2. And Absalom used to rise early and stand beside the way of the gates. And when any man had a dispute to come before the king for judgment, Absalom would call to him and say, "From what city are you?" And when he would say, "Your servant is of such and such a tribe in Israel," Absalom would say to him, "See, your claims are good and right, but there is no man designated by the king to hear you." Then Absalom would say, "Oh, that I were judge in the land. Then every man with a dispute or cause might come to me, and I would give him justice." So we see in the last chapter that David the king did make time to hear the problems of his people. He invited the woman from Tekoa to come and hear her problem, and he gave her counsel. And so what Absalom is doing is now he wants to intercept people. So he gets up early, he stands at the gates before people could enter the king's area, and so he says, tell me, what's your problem? What do you want to tell the king? And then he hears the claim, and then he says, "Oh my goodness, you have such an important issue. But too bad the king's too busy. Too bad he doesn't have anybody set up to listen." Did the king ever say that? No. He's just spitting out lies. And so suddenly, he's saying, "You know, too bad the king is too busy to listen to you." And then he says, "If only I were king. If only I was the king, then all the people of this land would be heard and they would get justice." A true man of the people, a true politician. He lies to them and lures them away. Like I said, a true politician. And he appears to love them as well. Look at verse 5. "And whenever a man came near to pay homage to him, he would put out his hand and take hold of him and kiss him." Okay? So again, he has his entourage, so more and more his name and reputation is building up as someone important. And then so people, as he stands early at the gate, you know, they want to kind of just bow and respect, pay homage. Like, "Hey, what's up?" He goes, "Oh, what are you doing for? Come over here." And he hugs them and kisses them. And kind of say, "What are you doing? We're buddies, right?" Again, a man of the people. So as he does this, what is happening to Israel? Look at verse 6. "Thus Absalom did to all of Israel who came to the king for judgments. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel." So he is stealing their hearts. He is dividing the loyalty. You see, what happened last week, after years of being away from the king and the kingdom, what is happening is suddenly Absalom is not only hurt and resentful, he wants revenge. He wants revenge for the pain that he experienced with his father. The people's loyalties were shifting, and what this shows us is how fickle the human heart can be. Saul has slain his thousands. David, his tens of thousands. They went in the past, the people, from loving Saul to now loving David. And now, instead of loving David, they love Absalom. How quickly our hearts, loyalties, and commitments can change. People will love you one day and hate you the next. They will praise you one day and curse you the next. You see, the majority of the people, what we are seeing here, were lukewarm in their loyalty to David. And Jesus knew this about people. That is why he said in John chapter 2 that he, Jesus, did not entrust himself to men. When they would praise him and there was a huge crowd following him because of the miracles, it says he did not put his trust into the hearts of men because he knew what was inside the hearts of mankind. Jesus knew how unfaithful and how fickle the hearts of man can be. People will say they follow Jesus today, and there will be many who will follow the Antichrist in the last days. Look at verse 7 to 9. "And at the end of 4 years," so Absalom has been doing this for quite a long time now. "At the end of 4 years, Absalom said to the king, 'Please let me go and pay my vow, which I have vowed to the Lord in Hebron. For your servant vowed a vow while I lived at Gershom in Aram, saying, if the Lord will indeed bring me back to Jerusalem, then I will offer worship to the Lord.' The king said to him, 'Go in peace.' So he arose and went to Hebron. So he's been doing this for 4 years now, turning people against the king. Now, some scholars have asked, how in the world could Absalom be doing this for 4 years, number one, without David knowing, or if he knew that he did nothing for 4 years? I think there's three possibilities that I want to explore. Number one, he continued, he was in this cycle of ignoring discipline for his children. So that's one possibility. So it's still the cycle that we saw in the past, that he did not discipline his children when they sinned. Possibility number two, he still lived under the condemnation of his past sins with Bathsheba and Uriah. So he couldn't move into judgment or action of other people's sins because he was still plagued by guilt of his own sins. Or number three, it shows us how sins will dull our spiritual senses and deplete us of wisdom. But no matter the real cause or the real reason why David allowed this to happen for 4 years, what is clear is that the author is revealing David is no longer the man that we once knew. He is no longer this amazing, ideal man of God anymore. And further, what it shows us is how hard and how rare it is to finish well. Few people in the Bible have finished well. And we need to take heed into our own hearts as well. Let's look at verses 10 and following. But Absalom sent secret messengers throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then say, Absalom is king at Hebron. With Absalom went 200 men from Jerusalem who were invited guests, and they went in their innocence and knew nothing. And while Absalom was offering the sacrifices, he sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonites, David's counselor, from the city of Gilo. And the conspiracy grew strong, and the people with Absalom kept increasing. Now, this is really interesting. Absalom, he gathers a crowd, pretending like there's a lot of people, the majority of the people, want him as king. And then look at verse 12. It tells us that Ahithophel, the Gilonite, joined Absalom's rise. Now, what's interesting is who this man was. Who is Ahithophel? Well, verse 12 tells us he was one of David's counselors. So he was one of David's trusted men, advisors, one of his inner circle people. So somebody very close. So that's got to be painful, that someone so close to him turned away and followed Absalom. But do you know who else he was? Ahithophel was also Bathsheba's grandfather. Interesting. His huge shift in loyalty from being David's confidant to Absalom's hints that Ahithophel probably knew that David was behind the murder of Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. To change loyalty in this capacity for that level of a servant reveals he probably realized something was wrong and David was the reason why that went wrong. And so out of anger, possibly, out of revenge, out of bitterness, we see the shift in loyalty. Once again, another consequence to David's sins. And the conspiracy grew strong and the people with Absalom kept increasing. The pain he must have experienced to know that even his close friend, his advisor, his counselor, decided to turn away from him. The pain of seeing your people turn away from you. Every leader faces it. Every pastor faces it. Some books on church planning I've read says that 98% of the people that you will church plant with, meaning your core leaders, 98% of those people that you start a ministry with, they will not be there in 5 years' time. Not that it's necessarily bad. Different reasons, different seasons that God will bring for that period of time. Now, in a similar way, I mean, when I read that, I was like in total an agreement because I've started several ministries throughout my years. I think I've been in ministry for about 17, 18 years now, and I've seen that happen as well. I start a certain ministry with a core group of leaders. 5 years afterwards, completely new core group of leaders. So it happens. You know, and within these 17, 18 years, throughout this journey, I've had my share, a handful of people, you know, who will say, Eddie, whatever you need, I'm here. Wherever you go, I'm there. Right? Anything, Eddie. Just say it, I'll do it. And then a few months later, they change to another ministry, you know, which is fine. Again, it happens in different reasons, different seasons, but it's still painful. And you need to realize that you will be hurt by other believers this side of eternity. We live in a fallen world. We are fallen beings. We sin. We are sinned against. And we're going to experience pain. But the important thing to remember is not to get bitter, but to bless them. Don't judge them. Don't call them non-Christians. They must not be a Christian to do that to me. You forgive them. You know, part of my devotions this past week was a reminder of this, that the proper response to pain and persecution from others is prayer and intercession. Psalm 109 says, "In return for my love, they accuse me, but I give myself to prayer." The psalmist is saying, I love them. They hurt me, but I will pray for them. So this must be our prayer as well. God, teach us to pray through every pain. Teach us to bless through every betrayal. And teach us to love even when others leave. That needs to be the attitude and the prayer of every believer. Don't stay bitter at a betrayal, no matter how deep it may be. No one is perfect because we are not home yet. And the other thing to remind ourselves is that we have hurt people too. And if you haven't yet, you will. That is the nature of this fallen world. But what we are up against in our generation, though, really is an apathy and a lukewarm attitude towards Christ. We are living in a lukewarm generation towards true gospel living and discipleship. Therefore, we must heed the warning about lukewarmness. Revelation 3 tells us, to the angel of the church in Laodicea, write the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither hot nor cold. Would you either be cold or hot? So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich. I have prospered. I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. You see, when we lose our hunger for God, it reveals we are full of the world. And those full of the world become lukewarm towards God. And we need to remember that warning. There are those who are lukewarm, but also there are those who are loyal. So everyone repeat, there are those who are loyal. Let's look at verse 13. And a messenger came to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel have gone after Absalom. Then David said to all the servants who were with him at Jerusalem, arise, let us flee, or else there will be no escape from us from Absalom. Go quickly, lest he overtake us quickly and bring down ruin upon us. Now let's pause there. When I first read this in preparation for this, it seems David the warrior, David the courageous fighter, turned into a coward, doesn't it? It seems like he's not going to fight. He's turned into a man-fearing man instead of a God-fearing man. It seems like that, right? But this next part of the verse reveals his real motive on why he is leaving so quickly. He says, let's arise and go quickly, or else they'll bring ruin upon us and what? And strike the city with the edge of the sword. That is why David is running away. He does not want to create a fight or a war within his own family, amongst his own people. Verse 15. And the king's servants said to the king, behold, your servants are ready to do whatever my lord the king decides. So the king went out and all his household after him, and the king left 10 concubines to keep the house, and the king went out and all the people after him, and they halted at the last house. Verse 15 is a beautiful verse. It is here that in the midst of the lukewarm people, there was a faithful remnant. Verse 15 reveals the heart of true servants, that whatever you need, we will do. Oh, for the church to declare this to Jesus every day of our lives. Look at verse 15 again. And the king's servants said to the king, behold, your servants are ready to do whatever my lord the king decides. For us to be able to say that to Jesus every day. Whatever you decide, Jesus, I will do. Amen? That is a declaration of discipleship right there. But when we look again at David running away, he is running because he's saying, I'd rather give up my throne than to fight my own son and his and my own people. Look at verse 18 and 19. And all his servants passed by him, and all the Cherethites and the Pelethites, and all 600 Gittites who had followed him from Gath, passed on before the king. Then the king said to Ittai, the Gittite, "Why do you also go with us? Go back and stay with the king, for you are a foreigner and also an exile from your home." Verse 20, "You came only yesterday, and shall I today make you wander about with us? Since I go, I know not where, I don't even know where we're going. Go back and take your brothers with you, and may the Lord show steadfast love and faithfulness to you." But Ittai answered the king, "As the Lord lives and as the Lord the king lives, who wherever my lord the king shall be, whether for death or for life, there also will your servant be." This has echoes of Ruth's words to Naomi, her faithfulness. In essence, Ittai is saying, "My whole life, David, is to serve you, my king. So where you go, I will go because I am here to serve you." Talk about loyalty. What a beautiful picture of loyalty here. You see, the response of David's loyal followers is the heartbeat of true discipleship. God's call upon our lives is not to become famous, but faithful to him. It is not about ability, but availability before the Lord that pleases him. You know, this attitude of being available for God's service is so crucial that as a staff, we decided to change the name of what it means to be an OEM member. You know, because we were debating this for a while, and we realized, you know, membership has not the same meaning as it once did. Membership today has a very casual, consumeristic nuance to it. You know, like, I'm a member of Costco. You know, I have Costco membership. You know, I'm a member of this club. I'm a member of this, you know, this group. And it's a very casual thing. You know, I chose to join it. I could leave it if I want. No big deal. It's kind of like joining a country club, right? There's not a lot of strong bonding connected to it. So instead of calling, once you go through our membership class or whatever we'll call it now, what we want to call our OEM membership graduates is available servants. I think that's more accurate biblically. That when you go through the course of what it means to be committed to the local church, you graduate signing a covenant saying, "I am now an available servant to this church." That is how we need to see ourselves and be. So everyone repeat after me. I am an available servant of OEM. Gotcha. All right? Everybody said it. God heard you. All right? Now, it's because this is really how we need to see ourselves and how we need to be towards his church. And after last week's message, I was very encouraged. There's a number of people who asked, "Eddie, is there anywhere that I can serve? Is there any ministry that I could be a part of?" And yes, there is. Let me just share a couple of ways. Well, our children's and youth ministry, we need more available servants to serve them, our next generation, so on both campuses. So that's one area. But let me tell you another area that you may not be aware of. We also need space for small groups, believe it or not. You know, these rooms that we are able to use sometimes, it's hard to find rooms in this church. And, you know, there are some rooms that we use only like every other week. And let me tell you a secret. These other ministries, they are like vultures. They know when we don't use a room, and they hover. And when they see that we don't use one room for 1 week, we get so many phone calls. "That room is under yours, but you didn't use it last week. It's ours if you don't use it. Use it or lose it." I'm like, take a chill, okay? It's every other week, you know? And so we do have a space problem sometimes for small groups. So if you can't lead a group, but you have a home to share, that could be a ministry as well, to make your home available for small groups. If that is you, contact Pastor Joel, and he will be rejoicing with you. Or if you just have property that you just want to donate to OEM, I mean, you could do that too, all right? Actually, I'd like to share with you a cool testimony of what happened last week on Tuesday. I was in a phone conference, and I was talking to a crisis pregnancy center that I support. It's called Women's Hope Center, and they started out in Pohang. And they're doing a lot of great things. They're doing a lot of counseling. They're doing a lot of purity education, a lot of things to help young moms who get pregnant choose to keep their baby in a safe environment and things like that. So I've been supporting them, and this lady in Korea heard what they're doing. And she owned this plot of land between Seoul and Pohang, about 2 hours outside of Seoul. And she had this plot of land that she wasn't using, and she decided to donate it to the Women's Hope Center, saying, you know what, I heard about what you guys are doing. I heard you have a heart for the vulnerable young women and children of Korea. I have this land just sitting there. I'm not doing anything. I want to give it to you. So this Women's Crisis Pregnancy Center, they have this land, and they're doing architectural designs, and they're praying, planning about setting up for next year. And so I've been talking with them, and then they heard, they've been keeping up with what we're doing through Hope Be Restored, through our justice initiatives and trying to fight trafficking in this country and stuff like that. And I shared with them one time several months ago that we're praying about starting up our own aftercare center. And we're praying about setting up a counseling center and all these things. And then they got the idea, what if when we're building our, you know, after our crisis pregnancy center, originally they planned on building one floor, a one-floor building. But they're like, what if we build a second floor and give it to you through for Hope Be Restored? I was like, I like that idea. And so they were in discussion, and they approved, their board approved it last Tuesday. And so what that means is that we will have 80 pyeong of space to use for our first aftercare counseling center that will be Christ-centered of reaching this country. Amen? So that's pretty exciting. So that's pretty cool. So this is also pretty cool that Women's Hope Center and Hope Be Restored will be doing a joint venture, because there's a lot of overlap of what these people are doing, to create the name that they were going to call it even before our involvement was House of Hope. So I think there's a lot of sovereignty in how God was orchestrating revitalizing hope for this nation. Lord willing, it will be built by spring, maybe March of next year. So please pray for counselors. Pray for donors. We'll be having fundraisers later on this year. And this was possible because one person made herself and her resources available. And now through that availability of hers, there will be a lot more lives that will be helped and changed. And so I need available servants in OEM, members, to step up and be loyal in these little things as we deepen our discipleship and strengthen our church together. We need to break out of the consumer mentality of this generation that says, you are here to serve me, or what's in it for me, or what happens when we first look for a church. I mean, naturally, it's good. We're looking for a good church to go to, but usually people are having a consumer mentality. Yes, you should look for a strong theology, solid doctrine. That's a given. You should look for a place where you can be fed, but also you need to find a place not just to be fed, but to serve in. You are saved to serve His body. Amen? That's an important element. Not just what can you give to me, but what can I give to this local church here? So there are those who are lukewarm. There are those who are loyal. And there's actually a third level of people that's described here. There are those who will lay down their lives. So everyone repeat. There are those who will lay down their lives. Let's jump down to verse 32. While David was coming to the summit where God was worshipped, behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him with his coat torn and dirt on his head. David said to him, if you go on with me, you will be a burden to me. But if you return to the city and say to Absalom, I will be your servant, O king, as I have been your father's servant in time past. So now I will be your servant. Then you will defeat for me the counsel of Ahithophel. Are you not Zodak? Are not Zodak and Abiathar the priest with you there? So whatever you hear in the king's house, tell it to Zadok and Abiathar the priest. Behold, their two sons who are with them, Ahimaaz, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abiathar's son, and by them you shall send to me everything you hear. So Hushai, David's friend, came into the city just as Absalom was entering Jerusalem. What is David doing here? He is sending Hushai back for a special mission as a spy, to go undercover, to serve David by pretending to be the servant of Absalom. Now, this is a risky assignment. Why? Because if Absalom finds out what he's done, he'll be killed. It will cost him his life. But he was willing to do it. Why? Because the king sent him. Because the king said so. Ultimate loyalty is when we are willing to lay down our lives. That is true discipleship. Look at Luke 9:23. I provided that for you in your outline. Can you read that together? Ready to begin? And he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." What does that mean to carry your cross? It means to lay down your life. And true loyalty also is willingness to lay down our lives for our loved ones. Look at John chapter 15, verses 12 and 13. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." So discipleship, lay down your life for Christ, follow him. True love, lay down your life for your brother, for your sister, for your friend. Where do these two things connect? These two areas of laying down our lives for Christ and our brothers connect at the cross of Jesus, where he commissions us to go to the nations with his gospel. How do you know the depth of your discipleship to Jesus? Do you care about and are you committed to finishing the mission Jesus gave us? That's how you test it. Because Christ, our King, already commanded us to go. The reason we exist, the reason why you are alive, the reason why you are saved, the reason why after we received Christ as Lord and King, that we are not instantaneously taken up into glory, paradise, in the presence of Jesus, is because there is a mission that his church is called upon to finish. That's why we're here. That's why we're saved. That's why we're alive. That is to finish his mission. Amen? And so we need to be committed to praying for, preparing for the unreached and the unengaged peoples of the world to be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And with that, there's a website I want you to become familiar with. That is joshuaproject.net. All right, joshuaproject.net. Become familiar with it. Pray through that website. What is that website? That website and that organization is committed to building up information so the church can be aware and praying for the least reached, unengaged, unreached people groups of the world. For example, we need to know who the top unreached people groups in the world are. The top 10, according to the Joshua Project, let me list them for you. We need to be aware of these people. The Aymak Tamani of Afghanistan, the Azeri Turk of Iran, the Gari of Somalia, the Lak of Iran, the Mazandarani of Iran, the Najdi Baruk of Iraq, the Tihamani of Yemen, the Uzbek Southern of Afghanistan, the Yemeni Northern of Yemen, the Zaza Dimli of Turkey. These are the types of groups we need to be aware of and to be in prayer for. Amen. Because until these people groups are reached, our job is not finished. Our primary task of why we've been saved. Disciples of Jesus will be concerned about the people groups of this world because, number one, there is no Christian witness to these communities. Number two, the desire of his people is for all people to know, to love, and to worship the name of Jesus. And number three, the sooner these people hear the gospel, the sooner Jesus returns, and the sooner we go home. That is why our vision as a church is centered around the concept of Acts 29, to finish the mission. Just this year alone, right? Just in 2012, OEM, and I'm not talking about the Korean side, just our English ministry, we have sent out full-time missionaries through OEM. And let me give you a list. Marlene and Augustine on a mission ship that is traveling the world. Another couple to the Middle East because of security. I'll leave it at that. Rebecca to China. Zane to Japan. Elizabeth to Thailand. Two more sisters from OEM have gone back to Canada to let their parents prepare for and to wrap up loose ends before they go to unreached countries in the world. And I know of 8 other OEMers who have approached me saying that they are praying about which country to go to after their contract at work expires within the next year. That is how the church is supposed to function. Amen? That is awesome. I'm so proud of this church. I love this church, and this is how we need to function. So for you, pray about what part you can play, possibly in the church plants that we are praying for Isan, Thailand, or the UK. Pray about going to the top 10 unreached people groups, or at least pray for them, individually and through small groups. There are still 7,060 unreached people groups in this world today, out of 16,446. We have well over 7,000 churches around the world today. And if every church committed, if just 7,000 plus churches in this world committed, rose up, and committed to praying for an unreached people group, and praying that God will raise up and release one person from their church to go and minister to these places, we will have finished the Great Commission in our lifetime. This is doable. But the reason why there are still 7,000 plus unreached people groups, do you know why? The church has lost its mission. We have become distracted and sidetracked as to why God saved us. We are here to finish his mission. Amen? And so I want to continue to challenge and keep pushing it onto your agenda. That as engineers, as teachers, as administrators, as whatever your profession is, pray about getting the same job you're doing here to these areas where these people groups are. Be the church there with your friends, with your small group, with your family. Pray about going there. And as we continue to push people beyond their comfort zones and keep focusing on why we are doing this, we're going to finish the mission. And that's why even our name. So we have our mission conference November every year. We're going to call it Finish the Mission every year until the mission is complete. And the whole purpose of us having this missions conference, I'm going to be straightforward right now. The reason why we're going to have our missions conference and call it Finish the Mission is to cast vision and to call people to the unreached, unengaged people groups of the world. That's the whole purpose of it. That's why our church exists. That is why every church exists. The depth of our discipleship is determined by our love for Jesus and our commitment to his mission. But the church is so fickle, so unfaithful. People in general are so lukewarm, so unfaithful. But more than looking over there and say, Eddie, you're right. These guys all next to me, they're so unfaithful. Before looking over there, we need to start and look here at my own heart. And realize I am fickle. I am lukewarm. I am unfaithful to my leader, Jesus Christ, too. If we are honest about discerning the true depth of our discipleship with Jesus, we are just like the people of Israel who changes loyalties against their king, David, as well. We're not very faithful either. We are very fickle, lukewarm, unfaithful people. And I realized this recently, even about my own heart, that I change so easily. You know, I take Enoch to an activity center on Mondays for my day off. We just started this for the past few weeks for some good daddy-son time. And it's interesting, there's multiple levels of very cultural intrigue that I've learned about this. I'm the only guy there. They're all ladies. No, it's Monday, so most of the guys are at work. So all the moms are there. So I have this room full of moms with their babies, and then there's me. You know, and the instructor is very energetic. You have to be, you know, for that age group of like 8 months. And it's like she whips out new activities or new playthings, you know, every few minutes. And for the ball, bah, then everybody gets all excited. Bah, bubbles! And everybody gets excited about bubbles. And one of the first activity days that I went to a few weeks ago, she whipped out all these fun things, and I was having fun with Enoch. And then the next thing that she whipped out were these wings. It looked like fairy wings, you know? And I was looking at it, and I was like, that is way too feminine for my son. And I remember thinking, I am not putting that girly wing on my son. But the only thing is, I couldn't say that in Korean. You know? So I was quiet. And so she distributed it to everybody, and I take it, and I'm like, I'm not putting this on my son. Oh my. And so I, you know, she's like, look, I'm pretending like, oh, I don't think it fits my baby. And then she comes, oh, no, no, it's not, it's like, the, no, this is how you do it. So she's, and you know, I was like, ooh, inside. And I would tell, I want to say, no, that's, you know, and I'm like, that's so feminine. He is masculine, you know, like, 여자, 남자, no. You know, I want to do something. You know, so I'm trying to, yeah, you know, but so, you know, she put it on and then, literally, like a second after she puts on the wings and this thing on his head, I look at my son. I'm like, I'm so sorry. And then next second, I'm like, oh my goodness, I got to get my camera out. And I take my camera. I'm like, oh, John is going to love this one. Oh, Enoch, look over here, look over here. Oh, look at these wings, look at these wings. And right after I'm like, man, I'm so fickle. It's like, what? What kind of conviction is that, Eddie? My heart was so against it. And in a split second, I loved it. Our hearts are like that. That is the human heart. Our hearts can change so quickly. Our allegiances can change so quickly. And so we sing with the hymnist. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. So here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. You know, though we are like this, the good news is that God is not. Our God is faithful. Amen. And this is something that I shared about 4.5 years ago. Somebody reminded me of it because they shared that it still helps them and encourages them. So I felt like it was a good time to remind us of this truth, of what God's faithfulness looks like. It's different from ours. And we need to be reminded of that. Because a lot of times we think, when we say that we're faithful to God, God is faithful to us, we think of it like this. You know, like, all right, God is faithful. He's going to hold on to us. And so, yes, I'm going to be faithful to God too. And so we think this is a picture of God being faithful and me being faithful. But there's a problem with this image, because when we think we are unfaithful or we have changed loyalties once again, we think there is distance now. And how can God receive me back? But that is not the biblical picture of what His faithfulness and our faithfulness looks like. This is a better picture of faithfulness biblically. God is forever holding on to His people, His children. And even though we let go, He never will. And even though we let go, curse Him, tell Him to leave our lives, He remains faithful forever. Waiting for the day when we have the faith and strength enough to hold on to Him again. That is a proper biblical picture of faithfulness. You see, He is loyal, and He lays down His life for us, gives us the Holy Spirit so that not in our strength, but in the strength that God provides, we might be found faithful in Him. And in the strength that God gives, we are able to run this race, go on mission, and even lay down our lives for Him. As faithless as we are sometimes, He gives us the grace to run for Him, to lay down our lives for Him, for our brothers and sisters, and for the mission that Jesus has given us. So disciples of Jesus in the room, knowing that He is faithful, let us serve the King's bride, the church, well. And let us lay down our lives as we expand His kingdom, finish the mission, For Jesus says, for whoever loses his life for my sake will find it in the end. Amen. Let's pray. Can we pray right now? And no matter where you are on the spectrum of faithfulness or discipleship, know that God has never let you go. He is patiently waiting for your return to get back on mission with Him. First and foremost, if there's anybody here who has never surrender their lives to Jesus Christ, if they have never placed their trust in Christ as Lord and Savior, I would encourage you to do so today. Place your hand over your heart and surrender your life, your sins to the Lord today. And for others of us who need to return, return. He's always been with you. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you, declares the Lord. We may leave, we may forsake, but God does not. For some of us, we need to repent of our lukewarmness. Can we pray that we might be found faithful and loyal to the very end? Can we do that? Let's pray to the Lord right now and come before our faithful King. Let's live for Him again. Let's pray.
Let's stand and let's sing that again as a song of dedication and reconsecration of our hearts to God. Let's sing with me. This is my desire.
This is my desire to
Let's pray together, and what I'd like for us to do right now, can we pray specifically for the least reached people group right now, the Aimak Taimani of Afghanistan? Can we start practicing what we need to do on a regular basis together? So can we lift up the Aimak Taimani of Afghanistan and ask that God will send out laborers to his harvest field? Ask that God will send people to this area, maybe even you. So can we pray? Let's focus our prayers on the Aimak Taimani of Afghanistan right now and ask that salvation would come, the gospel would come through this people group as well. Let's pray for that together. Let's pray. Right now, pray that God will awaken his church globally. Again, we have way more than 7,000 churches around the world. And can we pray that God will awaken these churches and that through his Spirit, he will lead these churches to begin strategizing accordingly to the rest of the unreached people groups of this world? And let's finish the mission in our lifetime. Amen. Let's finish the mission and let's go home. Well, let's be faithful to the task here. So let's pray right now that God will awaken his church. And that even you, I want you to pray. You need to pray. God, use me. Use my prayers. Use my giving. Use my going to help finish the mission. Can we do that together right now? Let's pray for that. Father, we want to thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you that you never let us go. Father, we want to pray blessings to your name, your patience towards such an unfaithful generation. But Lord, with that, we want to pray into this generation. We pray that you will awaken your church in this hour to get back on mission with you, to understand that we have been saved that we might be senders or goers to the ends of the earth. And Lord, we want to pray that you will reach these people groups through your church in our generation. And Lord, we ask for the grace to be able to finish the mission within our lifetime, God. Give us the honor of seeing it happen. And God, I want to pray a blessing for all the hearts here, that you as well would open up their eyes, their spiritual eyes, to see their role in finishing the task. Use us, God. Use us. Use our praying. Use our money. Use our short-term summer trips. Use our next job offer. Use our next job location. Use our small groups to strategically be placed in places that need your people to show up and to be a witness, to be a light in these dark places. Use us, Father. Give us the honor of being used by you. And now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than what we have asked even in prayer right now,
or what we can think or imagine, according to the power that is work within us. To God be the glory in the church globally. To God be the glory in this church here. And in Christ Jesus be the glory throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen and amen.